This is Notes from a Native Daughter. My name is Sol Danela. Today I speak with Ines Monjil. Ines Monjil is a veteran of the behind the scenes in the entertainment industry in Puerto Rico. She is a unit production manager with a lot of knowledge and vast experience with all kinds of teams and people. And she has created this beautiful documentary that we will speak about now. And I actually just want to bring her on and thank you so much nuevamente por tu tiempo. Te lo agradezco mucho.
Muchas gracias a ti. Thank you. And hi to everybody.
Yes. So I saw your movie last night. Muy preciosa, muy bella. It's like a little precious pearl, you know, the pearl, the book. Así como que, oh my God, está allá abajo, preciosa esa. So how did you find this man and why, and how did you pinpoint it with your partner that you wrote this with and everything?
So we're living in Santurce for the longest time, and we see the deterioration of the city. And we, you know, in talking with Lucia, we've been friends for a long time, we started talking about the need to find characters from Santurce, which will portray the reality of what's going on in our city. So it was actually Lucia who found the character. She calls me up. She went into like one of those sales and buy a shirt for her boyfriend. And she calls me up and say, I got the guy. Let's go meet him. So we went to talk to him. And on the day that we agreed to do the interview, it so happened that it was the last day that the store was going to be open.
Wow.
So we made a very emotional interview because this man has been working on a store for 63 years, ever since the store opened and ever since the city was in bloom and there were tons of people walking the streets and there was a lot of commercial activity going on. This guy was a 17-year-old kid when he came to San Juan to, and you know, started working and got the opportunity to work on this store that's called, it was called Clubman, and it was a, you know, very famous man's store.
Yeah, it is so poetic, Inés. O sea, es tan poético, es tan preciosa la historia, the heart of it, you know. I mean, I didn't realize that it was the last day when you got there, pero you know, to carry dignity through your life, right, and through this lifelong profession of making, helping, supporting men look elegant beautiful. It's so poetic.
It's funny because it's like a metaphor of Puerto Rico. I mean, for the longest time in the 60s and 70s, elegance was a major issue in men and the way they would dress and, you know, move around and express themselves was a metaphor of the island, and especially also about the dominance and major, you know, control of men in every aspect of society. So for us, it was a really interesting thing to approach an analysis of how this closing of this store is a metaphor of the deterioration of patriarchal society and Puerto Rican way of living. It's totally, you know, not just because the guys don't dress the same anymore, or it's not everybody who dressed in a suit and a tie, but also because the city itself is being abandoned and, you know, the people move to the suburbs and there's no city life as such, except now it's starting to, you know, grow again. But for you know, it's, you go out and walk around the city and it's a ghost town.
Right.
It used to be blooming in economic. That's why the use of the stock footage is so interesting as a contrast.
Exactly, exactly. And what did you learn to doing this film?
Well, no, basically, it's a confirmation of what we know is obviously the move to the suburbia has emptied the inner city, and also the creation of the shopping malls have shifted the economic activity to a shopping mall and away from the city. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in economic terms, that's what has happened.
Right. And in, I mean, that tension plays onto so many levels of society, right? Like the culture, mm-hmm. The way of life, of course, through your film. And on one hand, what do you want to say? No, I was gonna ask about him because I was impressed with his stand that elegance, mm-hmm. even if he was hungry, elegance would supersede his need to, you know, to claim help like that. You know, he would never ask for help in that sense.
See, the story, Antonio Navedo is a beautiful person, not just because his proudness of the work he does, but also he's proud of the way he has dressed and the way he has, you know, moved around in society. This guy who's got very little education, but he knows fashion and style and, well, elegance. He says that he cannot dissimulate or fake. He can fake hunger, but he cannot fake elegance. That's something that's innate. And it's funny because the way he talks is very traditional, and it's a guy from the country who came to the city, but he's raised in the country. So he uses all these, you know, little phrases that are typically Jíbaro Puerto Rican. But still, he's very, very proud of his heritage and also of the fact that at 80, he knows that there's a job for him out there because he's strong and he's willing to just continue working. He said, like, I will die with my boots on. And even at the face of decomposition, of deterioration, even in confronting the reality of the end of his life as he knew it, he was still dignified. Yeah. He still stands tall and he still wants to portray, you know, the way he enjoys showing himself off as a very elegant guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's magnificent. It's like just a very moving. Qué precioso, qué suerte.
He's a beautiful guy. And the whole coincidence that also because when we went into that interview, we already knew that the store was closing, and he was resistant. He said, no, this one might not close because they had other club and stores in other places that had been confronting economic problems. But he said, no, this is the last one. This is not going to close. We're going to continue. But it was impossible. They couldn't support it anymore. So we are trying to structure the editing of the film in a way that you not necessarily, if you don't know Clubman, somebody who doesn't know the story, doesn't necessarily know that the story is closing until later. Mm-hmm. That's why we started with his story, when he came to the city, when he started working with this man, everything that he learned from El Dr. Ramirez, who was the first owner and creator of Clubman, and everything that elegance stood for, all the people that would, you know, went through him, like governors, politicians, musicians, Pablo Casals, Pedro Flores. You see, like, the pride that he expresses in the work that he did every single day for 63 years. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, he has to confront the fact that it's not going to be there tomorrow when you come in.
Right.
And we were very, very lucky to be able to, you know.
And where is he right now? What has happened to him?
Well, I saw him a couple of weeks ago. He comes to Santurce every day because he can't just not be there. Mm-hmm. So he walks around and he does his thing. And, you know, he was wanting to find work. He was trying to get some time off and travel with his wife. But his plan was that he's going to continue working. Mm. So I really don't know today if he's been able to find something. But, you know, every guy, every man you talk to who's a certain age knows about Antonio Navedo and knows about the clubman. Mm. And we were able to rescue from the owners some of the old TV commercials. And we were able to use that in the film. It was very funny because the language that they use is very chauvinistic. And it's, you know, one of the lemas was, detrás de cada hombre que viste de clubman hay una mujer.
Exacto, but it's true.
But the way that they...
I know.
Her, she's like, even in one of the commercials you see her, she's not even in front of the image. She's reflected on a mirror.
Yes. I get it.
You see it like, you know...
Vixen style, you know, totally dangerous, like fantasy...
Uh-huh, exactamente.
It's sick.
It's funny because we like, you
like
know,
Donald Trump.
Yeah, well, let's not talk about that.
No, I don't. I'm just saying, you know.
Hey, pero that's what's interesting for me because I've been for, after all my studies about film and the power of the media in portraying and representing, you know, powerful structures and the representation of women, to come and talk to this guy and be able to make a very beautiful piece about clubmen, not from a perspective of, I am the feminist, I am going to, you know, question, like, you know, and burn my bra and question.
Right.
The history, which I could have, but I was more interested in his story.
Yeah.
And this man.
Yeah.
And his, you know.
I get it. That's what matters at the end of the day. His humanity.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, we try to very subtle, you know, use a little bit of our political analysis of history, but still from a very human perspective. And, you know, just this man is facing death and he's looking at it, you know, he by moments he gets sad, but it's more of the pride than the sadness. So it was really interesting. That's why, yeah, like, you know, the whole idea of using stock footage from the films that were made by the División de Educación de la Comunidad in the 1940s. There's this one film that's called, there was one that was called Donde No Sopla La Brisa, pero we used several different pieces from the collection of films made by the Puerto Rican government to educate people from the rural areas back in the 40s and 50s. And the idea was to create a contrast between, okay, modern is not better. Mm-hmm. And the past is nostalgic, but it's also something we have to look back to because there used to be a lot of economic activity in Santurce and it's now gone. And, you know, there's a new generation of people trying to bring more business, and there's a lot more cafes, and there's some more restaurants, and there's like pop-up design stores, and there's people gonna try to come back and repopulate the city. Mm-hmm. So it's that comparison, you know, in the image of the present outside the store is just static deterioration. Mm-hmm. But the past is bursting with energy.
Mm-hmm. I understand. I mean, I think it's something that is happening everywhere, not only in San Juan, in Santurce, in Puerto Rico. It's a reflection of many places. What I think is beautiful in terms of Puerto Rico, in terms of being Puerto Ricana and being outside and living outside for so many years, 27, going on almost 27 years, is a long time.
Is that a
lot of people that I respect and care for and love are doing incredible projects, such as yourself, Ines Monjil. And is so beautiful and inspiring and reaffirming. You know, I think that is us artists, that we have a future, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's incredible, you know, to experience that. And when I go to the island several times a year, it's vitaminizing. It's like vitamina. Me siento, mm-hmm. tú sabes, energética y que, you know, que preciosidad. It's really an incredible sensation. So mm-hmm. thank you.
Oh, thank you. No, I mean, it's not just, it's a lot of people needing to open up and say things, but it's also a responsibility. Mm-hmm. You know, to use your capacity, your creativity to create conscience right. in people, not just teach them like something dogmatic, but also, you know, present different alternatives so that people can think for themselves. And I think in many ways, there's a, you know, big group of artists in Puerto Rico who are expressing themselves in so many different ways. Some of the, you know, visual arts and the musicians and the actors and the theater players and even the circus. There's like a lot, you know, there's a need to express and to have a reaffirmation of our culture, because we're under so much pressure with all the political and economic turmoil that we're going through, that, you know, there has to be some valvula de escape so that people can let the steam out, because otherwise we're just, you know, I don't know.
I love it. It's pristine Spanglish. Una valvula de escape. Sí, total. I get it. And it's a pleasure to see, you know, how it's coming out. Tú sabes que yo, pues, I have to insert Eduardo Alegría, who I just simply love, because I just love his album Se nos fue de la mano, porque es como que esta preciosidad de cosa, ¿no? Como
lindo, sí. Super
lindo. Tú sabes, como que it nails Puerto Rico de una manera tan preciosa que, pues, no puedo dejar de pensar en ello.
Sí. Sí, no, and there's so much talent.
Yeah. Oh,
like,
yeah.
Everywhere you go, there's yeah. a lot of people who are doing really interesting things. And yeah. there's talent that is really, it's not even known.
Yeah.
Like the music that we used in a documentary, the musician, his name is Ernesto Cordero. This señor, who's a older guy, he's known in the world around, and nobody here knows him. And he's an amazing classical guitarist, and his music has been performed all over the world. Like, I started doing the research to find, because I had heard him a long, long time ago. And I like, you know, Lucia, we have to listen to this guy, because we're trying to use music that is typical of Puerto Rico. But the way that his music is written and performed is a classical Like he has concerts that are a classical concert using el cuatro puertorriqueño, using like our typical music in a way that is performed by a huge classical orchestra. And it was very incredible to be able to get a hold of him. And he was so generous to tell us, just use the music. You don't need to pay me anything. We don't need to write a letter. You don't need nothing. Just use it. And the music plays out beautifully because it's very simple Puerto Rican classical music. And it's not, I never heard there was Puerto Rican classical music, but there it is.
Qué bello. That's amazing. And so when are we going to meet him?
Ernesto Cordero. Yeah, yeah.
Where is his headquarters? Like, where is he based?
He lives here in Puerto Rico.
Okay. Qué precioso, Inés. That's so cool.
Lindísimo. La música de él es hermosa.
Sí, sí, ya la escuché, obviamente. Yeah. Wow. Y entonces la reacción en los lugares que han ido, qué les han dicho y qué bonito. ¿Y ahora?
Bueno, the film is running through the festival circuit. There's a company in Spain that Lucia contacted that they are doing the distribution. And the film went to Argentina to a festival. It's the Latin American Documentary Film Festival in Rosario. And there was a total of like 400 and something entries in the entire festival. There were 52 or 54 competitors for documentary, and our film got selected the best documentary. And it was very emotional, very, very exciting. Especially because it was made by two friends wanting to do something creative, and also because there was no, like, we had no budget, so whatever, you know, Lucia paid a part of it, I paid a part of it, and we obviously have some technical issues because the sound is not perfect, the transfers of the stock footage is also not perfect because they're from Archivo de Imágenes en Movimiento, which has very limited resources and technical equipment, but it was recognized as a beautiful piece because of the way it's told. And that's, you know, for us the most important thing is that it's not just a matter of all the stories that are out there, it's a matter of how you tell them and how you really, you know, send a message out to people and touch their inner emotion that will, you know, make people move when they see something on the screen. So the idea is that it's going to continue until beginning of the year. It's got two more big festivals, one in Spain, one in France, one in London also. And that's now in November. And in next year, we're going to show it here in Puerto Rico on the Rincón Film Festival, which is a short film festival. This is only 18-minute film. So, yeah, the idea is also that this is going to open doors for other work that we want to do. Lucia has several, you know, projects that she wants to work on. And I'm recently been working on a feature film. My compañero del alma y yo, José Augusto Acevedo, we were buying the rights to a novel written by Francisco Velázquez, who a Puerto Rican, amazing Puerto Rican writer. His work is like cult literature. And he has this book that's called Los Vapores de Sor Emilia. Los Vapores de Sor Emilia is an amazing story. It's like a trilogy. And we're going to spend the end of this week meeting with some people there. We're going to sign a co-production deal. We're going to start looking at actresses. and putting together our project. So hopefully sometime next year or 18, we'll be shooting Lomba Por el Tesoro Emilia.
That's so amazing. That's so cool. Felicidades.
Thank you.
I love it.
Muchas ganas, mucho entusiasmo.
Wow. Sí. Mm-hmm. Bueno, pudiese hablar contigo 10,000 horas because we have so many things to talk about, pero voy a cerrar aquí con este super ending.
Muy bien.
Dale. Okay. Pues, gracias.
Gracias a ti. Dale. Y bueno, seguimos hablando.
Un beso. Bye.
Beso. Chao, chao.